Hello everybody and welcome to the latest edition of the Black Speaking Global podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
How you doing, Lucy? How you been? How you been?
I'm alright, a bit tired of this whole staying at home now, to be fair.
Yeah.
The
weather's nice though, like, I guess.
Which I don't like. I really wish the weather was awful because it will make more people stay home. Honestly, I really wish it was raining every time. I wish it was windy. I wish it was cold. I wish it was just ugly, because when it's sunny, people are outside. I know someone who told me that yesterday they went out and apparently, like, the park was full of people sunbathing and, like, there was no space on the grass. Everyone was just chilling.
Yeah,
I honestly wish the weather was just awful.
Because they've lockdown restrictions have been kind of eased a bit in this country.
Which we shouldn't have, yeah.
So you're against that?
100%, because I don't understand how they announced last week that we have, like, the second highest amount of deaths in the world.
Mm.
And then you're like, what are you easing for?
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't even, to me, I feel like even before, it still wasn't a proper lockdown. People were still going out, there's still a lot of people outside. The only thing that was, there's only school that were closed and there was less people going to work, but there was no proper lockdown. So to me, I don't feel like we ever really had a lockdown.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Like,
yeah,
I'm trying to just look at the positives. So yeah, I like how, you know, restrictions have been eased, but at the same time, it's important to be cautious. And like, yeah, not to get, like, too carried away thinking, yeah, we can, like, get back to, like, normal living, because, yeah, we're still not quite there yet.
Yeah. But
at the same time, like, it's still quite good to see, well, you know, players, from our point of view anyway, like, yeah, players are, like, taken to the court again, like, practicing, because, like, tennis clubs are open again and, like, courts are kind of free for you to use.
Yeah.
So long as you're using them with members from the same household. But yeah, like, so let's kind of get into the episode. So a quick roundup of events. The ATP, WTA and ITF, they've announced a further, like, cancellation of the tour. So there won't be any tournaments until the 1st of August. So that's just, like, a few more weeks basically added on to the last cancellation. things looking kind of sketchy for, like, well, the US Open and the rescheduled French Open as well. But as things stand, like, both of those tournaments are still looking to go ahead.
Someone did mention that they think, I don't know if I said this in the last episode, but someone did mention that they think that the reason why French Open still wants to go ahead with it is because of they need the money.
Yeah.
And I think they did spend money into adding, what's it called? I lost my words. But I know they're changing one of the courts.
Philippe Chatrier, yeah. Adding a roof.
Yeah, that's it. They were meant to be adding a roof. So I think this is the first time. So I think most of the money went on that. So I think it's more of a money thing.
Mm.
And because now they've eased their lockdown, I think they're assuming that things are going to be okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, but to me, to be honest, till August, like, what's the point?
Mm.
I've said it before in other episodes, I do think that they should just cancel the season.
Because I understand that, like, that viewpoint, obviously, but especially this weekend, so... In looking at another sport, football or soccer, as you guys call it in America, so the two top divisions in Germany, the Bundesliga 1 and 2, they restarted this weekend, and, like, as a sports fan, like, it's been great for me to, like, sit down and watch some football, even though it's been played in, like, empty stadiums, and, like, yeah, I think that's another positive. I think, like, other sports can kind of look at that and think, wow, okay, well, if, you know, Germany, they can kick off and, like, you know, start playing football again, professional football again in Germany, then, you know, maybe we can maybe look to see if we can restart our sports.
Feel like tennis should have been one of the first, because tennis is easy to do it with isolation, unless you are playing doubles, I feel like those who are playing doubles might struggle a little bit more, because there are some players who play better in doubles than singles. So they might, it might not be as convenient for them, but I think it would be a good step forward if we at least started with a sport like tennis where it doesn't require a lot of people, you know. Some of these tournaments that have been going on for the past couple of weeks have shown that we can actually play without having, you know, yes, fair enough, we won't have, but I think, again, I think it's more of a money thing as well. Like, you know, tennis, I feel like they do rely a lot on the tickets and stuff. So not a lot of people, obviously there won't be anyone watching it, but I don't know, that's why when I saw the whole football thing, I was like, nah, this should be tennis, because like, and when I was watching the videos on Twitter, I was like, these people are literally like all together. I think it was UFC as well last week,
which is like full body contact.
And I was like, you guys, they sweating, they spitting, they're doing all of these stuff. Yet you're telling me that tennis players can't play against each other.
Again,
like you said, to me, privately, that because of the travel restrictions and stuff, that might be an issue, which, to be honest, I didn't put that into consideration. I completely forgot that these people actually do travel up and down, and some, and a lot of borders are closed. So yeah, but that is why I still feel like I personally prefer having a full proper season than having a season that does not make sense.
Bit part, yeah.
Exactly. So, or if, you never know, if things have calmed down by December, for example, then just start the new season from there.
Because
or might change up the dates. Like, let's say, for example, October, everything is cooled down, which to me is a bit not that realistic. But let's say that, then just start the new season from October. Like, change up the dates. It might have a bit of conflicts with some of the things, like the Olympics and so on. But I think that is something that we need to do. Or again, just stop everything and start from next year.
Because now that I think that's a good point you make, like going back to your tweet, because that's like the gift and curse, like with tennis, professional tennis anyway. Like it's a global sport, so you've got you know, players from all over the world that need to travel from like different parts of the world, and obviously, like you said, with like, you know, borders being closed in certain countries, well, most countries right now, it's just going to be difficult for players to like travel to, you know, different locations. But yeah, another thing you mentioned were the exhibitions that are currently going on. So you've got the EXO Tennis Series, which started off in Germany first, and now it's moved over to the USA. So they're in Atlanta competing at the moment. And like, it's not ATP or WTA like accredited, so it's like a completely independent, like it's not an official like tour thing basically, but it's just good to see players of like a decent standard like competing against each other, like even though it's not really gonna go towards rankings or anything. So I think we're gonna see more of that like as the year goes on, you know, because I think restrictions will slowly start to be eased like more and more.
I've been seeing even some videos of tennis players like finally in courts.
Exactly.
And stuff, like,
which is, that's what I'm saying. It's like good to see that.
Andy practiced with his brother on his birthday like a day or two ago.
Hampton.
Saw like another WTA player. I can't remember her name, but she posted like a picture and she was our first time picking up the racket since all of this. So that's the thing, is some bits of the world are doing, but that's the thing, it's a bit difficult because some bits of the world are doing really good, some other bits of the world are literally doing pretty awful, like New Zealand, for example, right now they're back to normal, they've had no deaths and started be doing great. That's only because their president or prime minister has literally been on job since December or January.
She literally
was like straight away lockdown. But then you have places in America where Trump is playing about and it's like, what, 50,000 plus deaths, you know? Or you have some places in Canada where it's like, okay-ish, like not a lot of deaths, but it's still, they've been doing pretty good, to be fair. So I think that's the issue as well, is that it's not the same in all places. Like in so many places is actually good and other places is bad and some is 50-50, so that's a thing that doesn't really help as well.
No, it's good points. But yeah, like I said, like I'm just trying to be well, trying to look at the positives and just hopefully we'll see more and more, games and like tournaments coming up, official or non-official, basically. So yeah, long may that continue.
All right, guys. So now we do have an exclusive interview again, but with American tennis player Sasha Vickery, who is ranked 158 in the world. We're going to be covering a lot of different topics, and Eugene did a great interview with her. So stay tuned, and here's the interview.
So if you can talk a bit about like your journey into tennis, like how old are you when you first picked up a racket, and like, yeah, like who kind of inspired you to play?
I started when I was probably 4 years old. It was really by accident. I was just kind of at the store with my grandmother, and I saw a little beach paddle racket, and I just asked her if I can get it. So I got it, and I just started hitting against the wall every day. I found a ball, and I was doing that for months and months. And I think one day I broke a window or something, and my mom was like, okay, we'll try and get you in tennis lessons, or, you know, see something where I'm active, doing something outside. And I tried it, and I loved it right away. I picked it up quickly. I learned quickly, and that's how it started.
So that you were four or 5 years old, you said?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
I was probably five.
Okay. And you had a pretty good, like, junior career. Like, you won, like, quite a few tournaments, like, in your junior career. Can you talk a bit about that? Like, what life was like as a junior, basically?
It was definitely much different than now from being professional. In juniors, you're kind of used to probably always being one of the better players. I was always high ranked, and I was winning a lot of matches. When I was younger, I felt it's just a different kind of sense. I was traveling, and it was more fun, and, I got to see friends more often. I was home a lot more. And I was always winning tournaments, so it was great playing juniors. I loved it, and yeah, it was a really nice period of my career.
Because you got as high as, was it number two in America as a junior?
Yeah, I think maybe two or three. I was in my highest junior ranking. I won maybe a grade A in Italy, and I won a lot of doubles tournaments in ITF, so yeah.
So, and like, I mean, as a junior too, because obviously tennis is a sport, well, as a pro, like you said, you started at a young age, like,
yeah,
you kind of miss out on like being a child, I guess. Like, was that ever on your mind, like, when you were playing, like, you know, like you said, competing in Europe and, you know, all over the world, basically, was that ever on your mind thinking, you know, I'm kind of missing out on childhood here?
Oh, most definitely. Sometimes I would, you know, I'd miss a lot of days of school, and when I'd go back, I'd miss all the school events, the field trips with my friends. I wouldn't get to see them as often. I think definitely I did miss it, but I did love traveling and I did love playing at the same time. So I think maybe then it was just more like, wow, I just really want to play and travel. So I kind of got used to that life pretty early.
Yeah. And obviously now, like you said, you're a pro now. So I guess your breakout year, I want to say it was 2018, when you had that, well, it started off in New Zealand, Auckland, where you played qualifiers and then got to the semi-finals.
Exactly, yep.
So if you can talk about that experience, like, just again, like, how that kind of felt, because obviously before then you were playing, I guess, on the ITF circuit. And then to kind of come into, like, the WTA, like, tour, like, yeah, how did that feel, like, that jump?
Yeah, no, that was an amazing year for me. I hired a new coach, and I was starting to play a few of the bigger events. I had a lot of success in the ITF level. So at that point, I was actually for years, I was kind of on the ITF circuit between that 150 and 200 ranking, which is a very difficult ranking to be at, because, you know, you're just missing a few events by a few spots. And you know, I was kind of floating around there for 2 or 3 years. And then in Auckland, I went through qualies and I made semis. I think I beat Radwanska there. And I was very close to going three sets with Wozniacki. So that was definitely a week changer for me. It, you know, I really showed me that I could compete at the top level. Mm. And, you know, once I had more structure, I'm able to produce better results. So that was a really important week for me. And that kind of set the tone for the rest of the year.
Yeah. And just to go back to life on the ITF tour, you won, was it 3 tournaments?
Yeah, today? I won a few. I've won a 60K, 225Ks. I've won a few in doubles. I won a few titles, and I was still playing WTAs at that time. I had success in a few WTA tournaments as well. I made a few quarters over the years, a semi. So I was slowly starting to build in the WTA, but I feel like that was really my first breakout kind of year.
Yeah, and obviously that was the same year you had the kind of breakout with Indian Wells, with the wins, yes, against Eugenie Bouchard and Garbi Muguruza.
Yes.
Again, if you can talk a bit about that, like, I know you've probably spoken about it many a time now, but how did that kind of feel? Like, it's a much greater stage. That's a Premier mandatory event, I believe, as well, the Indian Wells event.
Yes.
How did that feel? Like, and again, to kind of compete with these players.
Yeah, honestly, I just had a lot of momentum going into there. Like you just said, in Auckland, I had such a good run. And I think even a few events after that, I had good success. I think I made a final of another ITF. So I was slowly building, and I had a lot of momentum. I was match ready. I was fit. I was in shape. So after I qualified, I just felt I was a lot more match ready, and I had a lot of match wins. So that was, I was able to carry that confidence into that week.
Yeah.
And kind of build off of that. And then, yeah, beating Jeannie first round. And that was the first time I actually played on the stadium there. I played on other stadiums, even on the outside courts there. I think it's definitely the biggest stadium I played on.
Yeah.
I just went out and I played a great match. Obviously, I wasn't expecting to beat Muguruza the next round. I was just happy to qualify and get through my first round. So I just kept building on it.
Yeah. And the celebration, which is, widely talked about, the Wakanda Forever celebration. Which is, pretty legendary.
Thank you.
I read somewhere that Black Panther was is one of your favorite films. Like, is that still the case?
It was at the time. I think at the time it had just come out, and I think I'd watched it 3 or 4 times. I know one of the leading, Letitia Wright, she's one of the leading actresses.
Yeah.
She's actually from Guyana. She's from the same country as my family.
Oh, nice.
So she was, after I did it, she texted me and Chadwick Boseman, and he liked a few of my pictures. And
awesome.
So it was really, really cool. And that match against Muguruza, I was losing by, I think I was down a set in 4-0 or something crazy like that. And yeah, I just relaxed and I just told myself, okay, just go out and go after a few shots. And I was able to come back and win. And I didn't even plan on doing it or think I was going to do it. It's just something, it just happened in the moment. And I was like, okay, this is my moment. So here we go.
No, really, because I actually remember watching that match. And just seeing it. And at the time as well, like, Black Panther was such a, globally, like, I'm English, obviously born and bred in London, England. But the film for me as a black guy, like, it was very special. So I completely got and understood, when you did it, it was very symbolic, basically. So I think,
yeah, for sure,
I think a lot of people would appreciate that, and did appreciate that, basically. So yeah, shouts out to you for that.
Thank you. Yeah, that was definitely one of the movies that really kind of stuck with me. It's just, just celebrating, black people. Indeed. And I just felt it was the right time to do it. So
yeah. You've also had some big wins in your career. You've beaten a young Bianca Andreescu, Elise Mertens as well, who's an established top 50 player. Also Alison Risk as well. And also a young Iga Swiatek. So you're currently ranked, I want to say, is 158 at the moment.
Yes, I am.
And you've been as high as 73.
Yes.
Where do you see your kind of game going from this point? Obviously, I know it's difficult. Everyone's in lockdown, the tour suspended. But where do you see your game going? How high do you think you could actually reach?
Well, my current goal right now is I want to get back in the top 100. I feel like I, at the end of that year, I had a knee injury and it kind of slowed me down for a few months.
Yeah.
And it changed a lot of my technique. So it took me a while to kind of get back to that form, but I've slowly been getting back there. And right now my goal is to be top 100. And I think after that, I want to be top 50. And I'm at a good moment right now where I have a really good coach and I have good structure. So yeah, that's just my goal right now. And I guess the really current goal would just be to get back out and start playing again. So yeah, so that's pretty much it.
Also, I read somewhere, I want to say it was in 2018, you were talking about possibly representing Guyana, being the birthplace of your parents. Is that something you would look to do for the Olympics, or is that maybe not an option anymore? I don't know. Like, what's your view on that?
I definitely thought about it. I actually spoke to the Prime Minister of Sports in Guyana when I was there, and I went to visit. And it was something I was thinking about, but I also had to, you know, see the bigger picture and the opportunities that I have, you know, being an American, as opposed to representing, you know, a country that they don't really have a lot of athletes. So yeah. It definitely would be something amazing for me. But I think at this point in my career, that I should just, you know, play for where I'm from is in the States. And yeah. Definitely I just have a lot more opportunities. So that was the main thing. But, you know, maybe one day down the line when my, you know, when I'm kind of more at the end of my career, maybe that could be another option too. But for right now, I'm just going to keep it as it is.
Yeah. So that's not really an option then for the next Olympics, basically.
No, I don't think so. No.
Okay, cool. No, fair enough. And like, yeah, in terms of like kind of hobbies away from tennis, I see you're quite a fun. I follow you on Twitter. Like, you're quite a fun follower on Twitter.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, like you're not afraid to kind of clap back, basically, which I
love.
can you talk a bit about that, like in terms of like, yeah, like your kind of approach to like social media, like,
yeah,
and like maybe the do's and don'ts and like some of the things you've experienced over time?
Oh no, I've experienced so much racial abuse. I've experienced everything. I mean, I get death threats sometimes when I lose. Wow. I've experienced a lot. I think, but for me, sometimes personally, it bothers a lot of people, but really it doesn't bother me. I actually find it like a little comical. I'm like, you know, this person really took the time to send me this long paragraph, you know, about how horrible I am. Yeah. And it doesn't affect me at all. But I think there were a few where it just kind of crossed the line. And, you know, when it went into, you know, just talking about an entire race of people and just, you know, comparing us to animals. And I think that's where it kind of can strike a nerve a little bit. And it's not for me personally, it's just because it's generalized.
Of course, yeah.
And I've just let them know, like, listen, don't bring that to my page. I don't want any of that. I'm always, I'm the first one. I'm behind any Black Lives Matter movement. I support anything Black, and I just don't want that on my page. So I had to let a few people know. And actually, surprisingly, I don't really get them anymore that much since then. So.
No, that's good to hear. And yeah, more power to you for that. Like, this is in this day and age, like, you can't, you can never like rule that out, unfortunately. So
exactly,
it's completely up to the person to kind of, you know, deal with it how they want to best deal with it, basically. But
right,
I don't think there is like a right or wrong way. To be completely honest. But yeah, more power to you for like standing up for yourself and for Black people. So
yeah, exactly.
I definitely appreciate that. And if you can talk a bit about like, well, yeah, life in lockdown. So like, what have you been up to in terms of, you know, training and kind of keeping sane, I guess?
Yeah, no, I've actually, I mean, I really didn't mind the break because I think a lot of the players, we've been going for years and years and we never ever have this kind of time off and at home. And I just bought a place of my own. So I got actually live in it and not just come back for a day or two and pack my stuff and leave again. And some of my family came down from New York, so we've all been here playing games. And you know, we've just gotten really close during this period because we don't get to spend that much time together. So it's been nice for me. I've been baking and cooking. I've learned a ton of recipes, and it's been good for me. And then luckily I haven't been on Florida isn't on such a strict lockdown. So I've been able to practice and still get out and do my normal kind of routine.
Good, yeah.
So it's been okay for me so far.
I also saw you were doing something, was it with the Early Learning Coalition, the story time thing? Is that something that you're going to be doing regularly, or is that just a one-off?
Oh, no. I get approached to do that stuff a lot, actually. And I'm actually very, a lot of people don't know, actually, but I actually do a lot of charity work and volunteer work in the Miami community. Nice. I posted a few things on social media, and yeah, they approached me to ask me to read that story for, sorry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, they approached me to do that story for the young kids, and I was like, yeah, of course I'm going to do it, you know, and I love doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Personally.
No, that's brilliant. It was just nice to see that as well, like, because it's just good to see athletes kind of giving back, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. I think athletes should do more of that, actually, yeah. In my opinion.
And like kind of coming towards the end now, but I also saw you're going to be competing in the EXO tennis series as well in Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm leaving right after this call, and my flight is at 5 p.m. and I'm gonna it's like an 8-day event, and I'm gonna get some good matches in. It's, you know, a fun exhibition,
yeah,
kind of environment, but it's a very good chance for matches. There was actually something similar in Tampa.
Okay.
And I played last week in it, and yeah, I've been feeling really good. It's kind of good to test out where your body's at, and yeah, I'm still getting to play and compete, so it's really great for me.
That's brilliant. Are you do you still have contact with your coach then? Are you allowed to, like, kind of, you know, still see your coach, or is that something?
Yeah, my coach, he lives overseas. He's French, but I've still been in contact with him, and we're working out when we're gonna get back on court together, you know, after this whole lockdown.
Yeah.
Everything is kind of just up in the air, you know, everything is uncertain, which is very difficult with, you know, being a professional, but we're all doing the best that we can. And the WTA, they've been, you know, really great in helping support the players, even financially. So, you know, we're just waiting to get everything back to normal.
Cause on that as well, like, do you have a view on this whole, like, player, what was it? A relief fund that's been set up, like, what are your views? Because obviously you're kind of a player that will be, you'll benefit from that basically, as you're outside the top 100. So
exactly. Yeah,
like, what are your views on that?
No, I think it's very good, because tennis, it's one of the few sports where we don't have any pay guaranteed. Everything is based off of results.
Of course.
We have no, you know, literally zero is guaranteed. If you don't play, you just don't make money. If you're injured, you don't make money. If you're pregnant, you don't make money. So I think it was really good for the WTA and all the slams to come together with that fund. And I know a lot of people, they're a little bit against something Dominic Thiem said, I don't personally think other players should have to donate their own money into lower ranked players, because, you know, they're our competitors, and, you know, why would another player have to fund another player? That should be the WTA's job, and the ATP and all the governing bodies. That's their job. So I do agree that they don't have to spend that money. But then also, I do know the governing bodies, they could have done a lot more over the years, you know, with player finance. So I think they're finally starting to step up with that.
Yeah, and just
nice.
Just quickly again, like, on the WTA and ATP, there's a lot, there's been a lot of talk about them possibly merging. Like, what are your views on that? Do you think that's a good idea, or maybe things should just be left as they are?
I mean, I guess from maybe they're thinking of the financial part of it, like putting them together so it could be, you know, a bigger fund for all the players. I think it would be a good idea. You know, for a lot of years, women, we weren't even allowed to have tournaments or have a tour, and we finally worked it up to a place, you know, thanks to, like, Billie Jean King and a lot of other people, that, you know, we get paid equal. So we've worked our way there, but I think it wouldn't be a bad idea, because, you know, we both bring a lot to the table, the WTA and the ATP. So I wouldn't see a problem with it, honestly.
No, that's interesting to hear that viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, finally, Sasha, so just a bit of a fun one, like, who on the tour, like, I would you say you have any like close friends like on the tour, like,
yeah,
who would they be?
Yeah, I have a few close friends. Madison Brangle is one of my closer friends. Jennifer Illy, Francoise Abanda. Okay. I'm really close with her since we were younger.
She's Canadian, Abanda.
Yeah, she's nice, Canadian. Yeah. She's one of my closer friends on the tour. Yeah, really just a tight few. A few guys on the tour. I was good friends with Francis Tiafo. Nice. Yeah, you know, just a couple, just a small kind of circle. There are not a lot of, I would probably say, friendships on the tour, you know. Obviously, we're all competing exactly, against each other, yeah. But I'm pretty friendly with everyone, and yeah.
And yeah, just to end, so what would you consider to be your favorite surface or your best surface to play on?
I think hard courts are probably my favorite to play. I do also, I'm very comfortable on clay as well.
Yeah, you won two clay court events, didn't you, in the ITF tour?
Yeah, with my movement, I really love the clay as well. I'm kind of like more of an all-round player, so I like all surfaces. But I think hard would probably be my favorite and the one I've had my most success on. So I'd probably go with that.
Oh, brilliant. So yeah, Lucy, the next topic now, social media or Instagram lives that we've all been kind of like keeping in tune with over the past few months / weeks or weeks and months. I think Coach Venus, aka Venus Williams, she's been absolutely, well, she's been killing it, like, as far as I'm concerned. Like, what have been some of your main like standouts from like her?
She did one with, I don't know his name, unfortunately. I think he was a big NFL player.
Oh, and Rob Gronkowski, I think so.
Yeah. All I know is that I remember they were training and they both took, he took one of his Super Bowl trophies or whatnot, and she took one of her Grand Slam trophies. I think it was US Open.
Yeah.
And they were literally using that as weights. And I was like, if this is not the biggest and best flex in all sports history, then I do not know, because these are not little trophies that they won. These are big things in both sports. And in sport, even someone who doesn't even follow, you know, I don't know shit about NFL, but I know what Super Bowl is. You get what I mean? I know it's a big deal. And someone will know that a Grand Slam is a big deal. So indeed, that was 100% my favorite thing out of all of the ones she done. I was like, wow. I was like, okay, yeah.
It's,
I need to stand like that one day in my life.
It's really cool, because I, for me, like, I'm seeing a completely different side to Venus, like, during this time.
That's true.
I never knew she was like, and this is no offense, like, I never knew she was like such a fun like personality, like, because on,
I feel like I had a feeling that because of her Instagram a little bit, because some of the captions that she put and stuff,
yeah,
before that, but I definitely do agree. I think we've seen more of a side of her. I feel like her sister, because of the spotlight, she has to show more of that side. Yeah, but Venus is more like, I come and play, and then I bounce next tournament, and even during her conferences, like, they don't really even ask a question, but it's also because she's making it seem to them like, I don't want to be
exactly
here.
Yeah,
and she's just giving them quick, short answers. I think that's why as well the press are not that bothered with interviewing her, because they're like, we're not gonna get much out of her.
Yeah, just the same.
Because
old,
she doesn't want to, which I don't blame her, because it's the tennis media, they're full of shit. But I'm sorry, not all of them, but some of yous are annoying. But and that is why Venus don't like answering your questions. But yeah, definitely, we've seen a side of her that we don't see normally, and I think and I'm really hoping that the rest of the tennis world does see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. It's just fun. I think that's like you said, trying to take the positive out of all of this.
Exactly.
It's just seeing how everyone is dealing with it.
Another one I liked was also and she had Naomi Osaka on as well.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
was really cool.
That.
And like, it was just nice. Osaka's just such a pure like soul, like.
She was like so quiet, shy. And it's so funny because Osaka, you see her like that with others, but then when she posts her own videos or does her own thing, is that you see like a bit of like a different side. But she did tweet a week or two ago about how she's trying to fight from, like, you know, not being shy anymore, because once she met Jay-Z and she was just giving one word answers and stuff, and he's went up to her and be like, are you shy? And she was just like, yeah. I think it was at Diddy's birthday party, because her boyfriend, YBN Kode, he was invited. So I think they went together. Nice. And obviously Jay-Z was there. So I'm assuming that's where she met him.
Yeah.
So, but again, I think it's more about, you know, growing and stuff. And when you are shy, it comes to a point where you're tired, because you're thinking back about all of the times where you could have been able to speak up about certain things and be open, or you never know, probably miss out on an opportunity, just like she did. She missed out on an opportunity to talk with bloody Jay-Z. Like, you don't get that every day. Do you get what I mean?
Big time, exactly. No, just
it's so a great point. I think there's going to be a time where she is going to be coming out of her shell, and she's improved a lot from, I remember the first time she won, was it Indian Wells?
Yeah, that was a breakthrough.
Miami Open, yeah. And she was literally like, you could barely hear her on the microphone. And she was reading, you know, her stuff. And now look, she was at the Ellen Show, and she was,
Did you see her on CNN as well this week?
I think she talked about the same thing, didn't she?
Pretty much, yeah. Like what she's been up to, like, while in quarantine. But again, it was just a nice kind of like insight, and like, yeah, you can kind of see growth in her, like, that's personality. And
that's what I'm saying.
Just I think much people more comfortable.
Also, again, the thing is with tennis, because it's a sport where you start from basically the moment you walk, I think people sometimes forget the age of some of these players.
Yeah.
Like, she's literally, like, she just turned 20. She turned 22 or 21 last year. Yeah, so she's still really, really,
she's
really
young.
Yeah,
she's a young kid, exactly.
I know that there's going to be a time where, you know, it's going to be, it is what it is. But at the same time, I love the way I love the fact that she's, you know, who she is. She's never changed for anything. And it hasn't affected her playing in court. And that's all that matters. She's still a great player on court. No, so
that's a great point. Great point. Another one as well, Serena and Venus. So Venus had Serena on, and I tweeted about that as well. Like, I posted something on the Black Spin Global social media channels, and it was basically just Serena putting on like a stretching clinic, and I literally sat through that. It was like, I want to say 40 minutes long, but I was like, oh my god, like, this is actually, she kept stressing, this is just a warm-up, like, this isn't like a workout. But Lucy, I don't know if you watched it. Did you watch it?
No, I didn't. No, I think I was working.
It was literally, it was a workout, but she considers that a warm up, and it was just nothing but stretching, literally.
I've always wanted to, like, train with athletes. Like, I feel like their gym session is literally like hell.
Another level.
Especially, for example, NFL players. I actually during my free time, I go on YouTube and watch NFL players training.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Because I'm just so amazed about how, like, athletes, like, train and stuff. Shit. Like, this is absolutely crazy.
No, and like you said, pro-level sport, it's like, the level is ridiculous. Like, it's crazy. And, like, yeah, it's fascinating kind of being able to see it.
Well, it's nice to see Serena, you know, doing that, proving people wrong, saying that she's the one going to struggle the most.
And she, in that, like, session with Venus, she actually did say that, yeah, like, she feels, like, better than ever, basically. So she's raring to go, which is, like, a great...
Yeah, because, do you know what? It makes sense, because as soon as she gave birth, within months, she was back.
Yeah,
do you get what I mean? True. And she was traveling, and, you know, she had to adapt to being a wife, being a mother, and dealing with the pressure from the media, her coach, her fans, even, because them Serena fans on Twitter are
different level. I say Williams sisters fans, like, they've got like an army, like,
true,
literally.
True. Yeah, exactly. That army, boy.
Have you seen that? There's like a Zoom thing going on. Like, they have like Zoom meetings.
Yeah, and Serena joined one of them.
I'm thinking maybe we need to like get in one of them one day, one time.
The thing is, when I see it, I'm a bit like, I don't know. whenever I'm on Zoom meetings, I put my camera off. But there was one. Oh my gosh, There was one like 1 or 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So check this out. So Sharapova, aka Dragpurova.
Hey, listen, listen,
she's
listen.
She's been doing. She's been. Hold on. Hold on. She's been doing it with her fans, but they've known about it, right? So that whole happy hour with the Serena fans, it was more between them. And then they put it on Twitter and they're like, here's the ID, here's the password, join us at date and time. Serena must have basically come and she surprised them. So like no one knew. So she put even like a fake name and everything. She came and they were all talking. And then one of Sharapova's fans trying to throw shade saying that basically Serena was copying her.
Oops.
And when it was still even worse, Sharapova quote tweeted that tweet.
No way.
Trying to approve. And it's just like, enjoy your retirement.
Gotcha.
Like, do something. Do you get what I mean? Like, I was just like, ugh. But anyways, we are not entertaining.
This is going to say, so the rivalry. Excellence
podcast. This is just to remind you guys that, again, that this woman, literally, Serena lives in her mind rent free.
Don't.
That's it. That is it.
So even in retirement, the rivalry continues. Damn. Damn,
I know,
damn.
Right? Even after retirement. Can you see? This is why Serena's a GOAT. Imagine retiring, people are dying, you're spending time with your family, and you're thinking about what Serena's doing. Oh my gosh. I need to be great like her. Honestly.
Another notable Instagram live that's happened recently, literally just yesterday, actually, was Andy Murray and Nick Kyrgios.
My favorites.
Yeah, and that was quite entertaining. Again, I didn't watch it, I didn't catch it. All like live anyway. I saw bits here and there on like social media and stuff, but yeah, I'm just fascinated by Nick Kyrgios. I think he's just a fascinating character.
I love him. I know a lot of people don't like him, but I've always liked him. Yes, he's problematic, but that's what we need in
tennis.
This
is the thing, exactly. Characters. There was talk about him being possibly like drunk or like waved. I think he did say that he'd had a few glasses of wine.
Yeah, so like Andy was like, how many glasses of wine have you had? And Nick was like, about as many game as you gave me at Wimbledon that year, about six. Oh dear.
And he made some like controversial like comments or remarks as well, just saying how he thinks Murray's better than the world, the, or big, the current, the
he
current...
Was, no, he was basically saying how like Nick was begging him like they should play doubles.
Yeah.
And then he was basically saying like, listen, like people don't care about those big threes. They care about ordinary people like us, Andy and Nick and stuff. And you know, people like us, like we should do it and stuff. And I mean, he's kind of right. At the end of the day, we have to break away from the big threes. Them niggas are going to go soon, okay? We need to put that in our minds that they're getting old. Like, Federer's getting old. You know, Nadal, you know, is getting old. Djokovic, probably a couple more years, but he's a beg, so it's not the same. But,
A lot of trash talk on the big three right now. Damn.
Do you know what? People might even think this girl actually even a Roger fan. I am, but you know, it is what it is. Like, I'm a younger generation, so I'm looking forward into the new generation coming in. I want more focus on them,
okay,
rather than just the big threes.
Because I'm just thinking back to the previous episode as well. You kind of got on Roger as well.
On Roger, yeah, I did. That's what I'm saying. That's why I said, like, people are probably gonna be like, this girl's not a Roger fan. But you know, I like to keep it 100. You know, I'm
fair.
A real one.
Listen, that's what we do here. Love that.
Yeah, that's what we do here. So yeah, so I get what Nick was saying, especially that Andy got mad love recently, especially with everything that's been going through. So yeah, I love them both. I love them both together. And Nick was right. You know, we like that these ordinary organic people,
yeah.
You know, and that is why personally I love Nick so much. It's a thing where he's been real, he's been himself, and people not understanding that the reason why he's been like this is because he's trying to tell people that, listen, there's more into this life than just tennis.
Completely.
Like, yes, it's my job, yes, it's a great thing, but this is not my number one thing. My number one thing is my life, my happiness, and if I want to come to a game today and I don't want to play properly, so be it. And the people who complain, it's like, so you want, I would say to myself, like, so you want to tell me that you never went to work and said, you know what, fuck this, I don't want to work today. Like, I don't want, I'm going to do my bare minimum. it's no different, not different to him. Yeah, you get what I mean? Like, it's still a job. The only difference is that because you see it on TV and he gets money, he has sponsorship, you think it's different. But at the end of the day, that is just 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a good point.
So definitely. This is a very big Nick Kyrgios fan account, and I'll stand for him forever. As much as he can be problematic, it's like, whatever, I still stand.
And shouts out to, well, Halima Kyrgios, which is Nick's sister, because she posted a post that we posted on Blackspin's IG, where we were speaking about like his love of basketball. She posted that to her story, and that was just great to see. And like, we kind of had like some dialogue, which is nice. So yeah, shouts out to her and the whole Nick Kyrgios clan. So yeah, Lucy, we're kind of coming towards the end of the this episode, and as we close out all of them, it's this time last year, as there's no tennis to really talk about. So yeah, looking back, like, it's like May time. Heather Watson, she won the title. I don't want to say the name of the city in Japan because it's like, it's just a complicated name. But yeah, she won an she won an ITF event in Japan. So she won the singles and doubles at the same event, which is like pretty boss. And I'd say that was kind of like the that was like the tournament or the time where she kind of maybe found her form again, because like she kind of went on to have a pretty good, like she closed out the year like quite solidly. And like I said, this was May of last year, so yeah, like she picked up some good results. Like I said, that was an ITF event, but she picked up some good results like on the WTA tour after that. And like, yeah, obviously we know how she started this season, like winning in Mexico.
Yeah, she's been doing really good.
So that was great to see. And also the Rome Masters were taking place. So that was a clay court event.
Yeah. I actually was hesitating to go. That's the funniest thing. Oh, really? As well. And I wish I did, because I think Serena, did she go? And then she cancelled.
I think so. She pulled out.
Yeah, I think she wasn't there for too long.
She was supposed to play Venus, I want to say, in the second round, but yeah, she pulled out with an injury.
Yeah. I remember I wanted to go, but I was hesitating because I've already been to Rome and I don't really like traveling to the same places.
Okay. Yeah.
So I was hesitating between like Madrid as well, because but all I know, I really wanted to go to a clay match, mainly because Roger was getting back to clay for the first time. So I really wanted to go
to be fair, you probably made the right decision, because last year Rome, there was like a lot of like cancellations and like rain delays. Yeah, stuff.
That's true. So, like,
you had players playing like two matches in a day.
yeah, that's true. I think someone even tweeted a picture, like, and a caption was like, do you remember, like, it was hell.
It was really, really depressing. I was like,
really annoying.
Is this Rome or London? Like, London is known for having rain, like, literally.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Well, thank God Wimbledon is during summer. It had been a struggle.
But yeah, that was literally this time last year. Not much happening, but yeah, shouts out to
Heather. Yeah, not much happened.
Shouts out to Heather Watson for winning the challenger event that she won,
and for entertaining us at the moment with her TikTok videos.
Indeed. So
she's still on job.
Hopefully we get to speak to her, actually. That's someone I'm hoping we can speak to very soon. So
yeah, hopefully. Yeah, I mean, I think if we've been able to secure two people so far, you know, a coach and a player,
exactly,
I think we can probably secure Heather.
Definitely, fingers crossed. So yeah, that wraps up this latest edition of the Blackspin Global Podcast, guys. So thanks for listening. And yeah, we'll catch you for the next episode.
Thanks, guys. Don't forget to subscribe, like, share, tell a friend, tell a cousin, tell a neighbor.
Indeed. Cheers for listening, guys. Take care.